In the beginning, God. And the Spirit of God moved. And God said. And God saw. And God called. And God made. And God created. And God blessed. And the Lord God formed. And the Lord God planted. And the Lord God commanded. And so began the name of Holy God in His earth and in the mind of His creation. And Adam communed with the Lord God. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Abraham walked before the Almighty God. And Moses was sent by the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Then the great I am became God in flesh. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And God has given him a name above all names.
Advent is the season of the church year that focuses on the anticipation of the first coming of Christ to this earth. His coming as the Messiah was first prophesied in the 6th century B.C. when the Jews were captive in Babylon. For centuries thereafter, faithful Hebrews looked for their Messiah with great longing and expectation, echoing the prayers that He would ransom captive Israel. The great 12th century hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, describes five of the original names of the anticipated Messiah, imploring Him to rescue His people and reign over the earth. In verse 1, He is Emmanuel, Deliverer, God's people, now separated from heaven, are here to compare Israel during its Babylonian exile. In verse 2, He is Lord of Might. This is addressing the Almighty Jehovah, the one who first gave the law at Mount Sinai. In verse 3, He is the rod of Jesse, a reference to Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. This prophecy was perfectly fulfilled with the birth of Christ. In verse 4, He is dayspring, which literally means sun rising. Luke 1:78 and 79 says, "The dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give a light to them that sit in darkness." And verse 5, He is Thou Key of David. This expression is first recorded in Isaiah 22:22. "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder." And later in Isaiah 9, Christ's royal authority is confirmed with the words, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Today, our hearts rejoice with God's people of all ages that we realize that Christ the Messiah has come 2,000 years ago and accomplished a perfect redemption for Adam's hopeless race. O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
firstborn son. Think of the wonder, excitement, and nervous anticipation when a precious new life is about to enter the world. There are overnight bags to be packed, cute outfits to be purchased, and a crib to be built. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Now think of a gentle couple filled with that wonder and excitement, but commanded to set out on an arduous journey. They certainly had overnight bags to be packed, but cute outfits and a fine crib were not to be found. And Joseph went also up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Babe in a manger. Consider the trivial and insignificant manger. It was a simple feeding trough made from clay mixed with straw or stones held together with mud. A shepherd certainly wouldn't give a manger much thought. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yet consider the insignificant manger and the majestically significant task that one special manger fulfilled. Not only was it an extraordinary sign to ordinary men, but it cradled the greatest gift in the greatest way at the greatest moment in history. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Jesus. There is not, has never been, nor ever will be, a more momentous name. Every person that heard the news of the newborn king was filled with curiosity and amazement. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which were told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But soon wonder and curiosity turned to glory and praise when the declaration circulated about who this newborn baby king truly was. And by its meaning, Jehovah is salvation. The name of Jesus brings the triumph of victory down to mankind. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus.
Please stand and join us on the last verse. Savior of the world. God handpicked a man of integrity and honor to be the earthly father for his heavenly baby. Once the angel appeared to Joseph, he soon recognized that there truly was something special about that breathtaking name. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. What an astoundingly significant reality. Years later, John labored with, loved, and logged in Scripture the life and history of the one, he said, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Now we know the greatest gift. Now we rejoice to tell the world. And as John wrote, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
King of kings. Within the realm of human time, As the nations watch, earthly kings rise to prominence by power or privilege. Isaiah foretold of a mighty king who would ascend to the throne of all history with neither of these earthly elements. In fact, not only would this timely king not be an instrument of the power of the state, but the state would rise against him. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This Prince of Peace will be an instrument of the power of God. He will be God in flesh. He will be the sovereign over all that was, all that is, and all that will be. He will rule. He will reign. He will return. Revelation 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you.
name above all names. Whenever I hear that, I always think of the book of Acts, chapter 4, when basically the disciples were called before the educated elite of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the scribes, and they were looking at them and they said, you know, these are uneducated men. The words used in the Bible, though, are ignorant men. They're ignorant. They've never been to the schools of higher education. But there's one thing that these men knew. They knew Jesus. Because it goes on to say, the disciples said to these educated people, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only name where salvation comes from. It doesn't come from Buddha. It doesn't come from Muhammad. It only comes from Jesus Christ. Again, there's a push right now. Maybe you've seen it. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. How long have they been trying to do that? I tell somebody that something that got started very innocent has changed. Years ago, people thought the word Christmas was too long to spell out. So they put an X for the name of Christ and then put M-A-S after it. It has some logical thought behind it. Because in Greek, the word for Christ is Christos, which starts with our X. And so when they were first putting an X in there where Jesus' name was, it was literally because that was the first letter of the word Christ in Greek. So it was innocent, but now today it's become that we don't want to say the name of Christ. So instead of saying it, what do we want to do? We just want to kind of X it out. Can I give you some practical pastoral advice? Don't do that. If you're going to put an X anywhere, I guess put it on the M-A-S on the end. Can you do that? But we need to keep Christ in Christmas, because without Christ, there is no Christmas. There is no salvation. There is no hope beyond the grave. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? You don't have to have a doctorate. You don't have to go to the higher schools of education. You just have to know Jesus. Because in Acts chapter 4, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes took notice that these men had been with Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that one name, the only name that can deliver you and redeem you from your sins, forgive your sins, and give you a hope forever in heaven? It's only found in Jesus. It is the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God. What I believe that means is, for Christians, when we hear that name, that great day when we get into heaven, we will literally bow and say, He is Lord of all and He is our Lord. But I also believe that will be others who did not receive Him in this lifetime. And at that point in time, they also will bow their knee and say, He is the Lord of all, but He was not my Lord. And that'll be the last time that they'll be in His presence before they'll be ushered into separation from Him forever. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, but I hope that you're confessing because He is your Lord and you received Him. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, He's the only name that can save you. I hope that you've done it. You'll have a great Christmas. If you've not, I know how to make Christmas wonderful. Receive Christ as your Savior now. There is salvation. And none other. He is the name above names. If you've not received Christ, and maybe you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, or I need more information, I'm going to hang around. There's cookies over here. I'll be eating some. You come pull on my sleeve, or give me a tap on the shoulder, or hit me if you have to. Whatever you need to do, get my attention. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm trusting in Jesus, and I'm forgiven of my sins. I'd like to take a Bible and show you how to, out of a Bible, how you can know your sins are forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven, because Jesus is the name that can do that for you. If you've not done that, please get my attention before the night goes away. At this time, I want to thank Ken for writing this cantata. I'm going to turn it over to him at this time.